6. His 20th year, A.D. 14. The story of Rebecca's love for Jesus was whispered about Nazareth and later on at Capernaum. So that, while in the years to follow many women loved Jesus even as men loved him, not again did he have to reject the personal proffer of another good woman's devotion. From this time on, human affection for Jesus partook more of the nature of worshipful and adoring regard. Both men and women loved him devotedly and for what he was, not with any tinge of self-satisfaction or desire for affectionate possession. But for many years, whenever the story of Jesus' human personality was recited, the devotion of Rebecca was recounted. Miriam, knowing fully about the affair of Rebecca and knowing how her brother had forsaken even the love of a beautiful maiden, not realizing the factor of his future career of destiny, came to idealize Jesus and to love him with a touching and profound affection as for a father as well as for a brother. Although they could hardly afford it, Jesus had a strange longing to go up to Jerusalem for the Passover. His mother, knowing of his recent experience with Rebecca, wisely urged him to make the journey. He was not markedly conscious of it, but what he most wanted was an opportunity to talk with Lazarus and to visit with Martha and Mary. Next to his own family, he loved these three most of all. In making this trip to Jerusalem, he went by way of Megiddo, Antipatris, and Lydda, in part covering the same route traversed when he was brought back to Nazareth on the return from Egypt. He spent 4 days going up to the Passover and thought much about the past events which had transpired in and around Megiddo, the international battlefield of Palestine. Jesus passed on through Jerusalem, only pausing to look upon the temple and the gathering throngs of visitors. He had a strange and increasing aversion to this Herod-built temple with its politically appointed priesthood. He wanted most of all to see Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Lazarus was the same age as Jesus and now head of the house. By the time of this visit, Lazarus's mother had also been laid to rest. Martha was a little over 1 year older than Jesus, while Mary was 2 years younger. And Jesus was the idolized ideal of all three of them. On this visit occurred one of those periodic outbreaks of rebellion against tradition, the expression of resentment for those ceremonial practices which Jesus deemed most representative of his Father in heaven. Not knowing Jesus was coming, Lazarus had arranged to celebrate the Passover with friends in an adjoining village down the Jericho Road. Jesus now proposed that they celebrate the feast where they were, at Lazarus's house. "But," said Lazarus, "we have no Paschal lamb." And then Jesus entered upon a prolonged and convincing dissertation to the effect that the Father in heaven was not truly concerned with such childlike and meaningless rituals. After solemn and fervent prayer they rose, and Jesus said, "Let the childlike and darkened minds of my people serve their God as Moses directed. It is better that they do. But let us who have seen the light of life no longer reproach our Father by the darkness of death. Let us be free in the knowledge of the truth of our Father's eternal love." That evening, about twilight, these four sat down and partook of the first Passover feast ever to be celebrated by devout Jews without the Paschal lamb. The unleavened bread and the wine had been made ready for this Passover, and these emblems, which Jesus termed the bread of life and the water of life, he served to his companions. And they ate in solemn conformity with the teachings just imparted. It was his custom to engage in this sacramental ritual whenever he paid subsequent visits to Bethany. When he returned home, he told all this to his mother. She was shocked at first but came gradually to see his viewpoint, Nevertheless, she was greatly relieved when Jesus assured her that he did not intend to introduce this new idea of the Passover in their family. At home with the children, he continued, year by year, to eat the Passover according to the law of Moses. It was during this year that Mary had a long talk with Jesus about marriage. She frankly asked him if he would get married if he were free from his family responsibilities. Jesus explained to her that, since immediate duty forbade his marriage, he had given the subject little thought. He expressed himself as doubting that he would ever enter the marriage state. He said that all such things must await my hour, the time when my Father's work must begin. Having settled already in his mind that he was not to become the father of children in the flesh, he gave very little thought to the subject of human marriage. This year he began anew the task of further weaving his mortal and divine natures into a simple and effective human individuality. And he continued to grow in moral status and spiritual understanding. Although all their Nazareth property, except their home, was gone, this year they received a little financial help from the sale of an equity in a piece of property in Capernaum. This was the last of Joseph's entire estate. This real estate deal in Capernaum was with a boat builder named Zebedee. Joseph graduated at the synagogue school this year and prepared to begin work at the small bench in the home carpenter shop. Although the estate of their father was exhausted, there were prospects that they would successfully fight off poverty since three of them were now regularly at work. Jesus is rapidly becoming a man, not just a young man but an adult. He has learned well to bear responsibility. He knows how to carry on in the face of disappointment. He bears up bravely when his plans are thwarted and his purpose is temporarily defeated. He has learned how to be fair and just even in the face of injustice. He is learning how to adjust his ideals of spiritual living to the practical demands of earthly existence. He is learning how to plan for the achievement of a higher and distant goal of idealism while he toils earnestly for the attainment of a nearer and immediate goal of necessity. He is steadily acquiring the art of adjusting his aspirations to the commonplace demands of the human occasion. He has very nearly mastered the technique of utilizing the energy of the spiritual drive to turn the mechanism of material achievement. He is slowly learning how to live the heavenly life while he continues on with the earthly existence. More and more he depends upon the ultimate guidance of his heavenly Father while he assumes the fatherly role of guiding and directing the children of his earth family. He is becoming experienced in the skillful wresting of victory from the very jaws of defeat. He is learning how to transform the difficulties of time into the triumphs of eternity. And so, as the years pass, this young man of Nazareth continues to experience life as it is lived in mortal flesh on the worlds of time and space. He lives a full, representative, and replete life on Urantia. He left this world ripe in the experience which his creatures pass through during the short and strenuous years of their first life, the life in the flesh. And all this human experience is an eternal possession of the universe sovereign. He is our understanding brother, sympathetic friend, experienced sovereign, and merciful father. As a child he accumulated a vast body of knowledge. As a youth he sorted, classified, and correlated this information. And now as a man of the realm he begins to organize these mental possessions preparatory to utilization in his subsequent teaching, ministry, and service in behalf of his fellow mortals on this world and on all other spheres of habitation throughout the entire universe of Nebadon. Born into the world a babe of the realm, He has lived his childhood life and passed through the successive stages of youth and young manhood. He now stands on the threshold of full manhood, rich in the experience of human living, replete in the understanding of human nature, and full of sympathy for the frailties of human nature. He is becoming expert in the divine art of revealing his paradise father to all ages and stages of mortal creatures. And now as a full-grown man, an adult of the realm, he prepares to continue his supreme mission of revealing God to men and leading men to God.